this section again, like all the sections here in Romans, are just absolutely astounding. And the greatness of the word is just unbelievably believable. So, in the last session, we closed with Romans 10 and the opening part of verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? Tonight, the great core principle, as it is written. There it is. I have a little reading here, a couple paragraphs I want to share, that it's the story of Negapus. I thought it might bless you tonight on this wonderful core night. Negapus was a caterpillar. That's his name. And this is the story of Negapus. There once was a caterpillar named Negapus who lived in the valley of the mushrooming negatives. Negapus would go from mushroom to mushroom, confessing as many negatives as he could about every possible situation in which he could think. There wasn't a thing that Negapus couldn't change into a negative. His whole world was negative. Each night, as the sun slowly sank into the west, Negapus would go out to witness and to complain and complain and complain. Nothing ever went right for Negapus. "I can't" was his theme song. "I can't do this. I can't do that. There's no way. That's impossible. And how could I possibly?" were some of his favorite expressions. One night, as Negapus was busy planting seeds of hopelessness and despair, he came upon an old black book sitting right there in the middle of the field of unbelief. Negapus approached the book cautiously and with fear, because you see, it was fear that caused him to be so negative in the first place. But the golden edges of the pages of the great book glistened, and a bright red carpet proceeding from the corner of the book was a clear-cut invitation for Negapus to enter. He climbed up the red carpet, tumbled into the book. He inched his way into a page in Romans and slowly crawled through chapter 10. As he arrived at chapter 12, two massive tears sparkled in his eye as he read the words, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." The thought of transfigured perfection brought to mind the words of the wise old caterpillar, which had always been a mystery to Negapus. But now, as he sat in the spectrum of light between Romans and Ephesians, he understood. The eyes of his mind were enlightened. At the place where his sparkled tears had fallen, appeared two brightly colored wings. The wings became his own as he thought, "Renew, renew, renew." With a great deep breath, he ran across 2 Timothy, jumped and lanced the sky with the love of God burning in his heart. He soared high above the field of unbelief and back into the valley of the mushrooming negative to look for other unguided caterpillars, for he knew he was born again to serve. I thought it was sort of neat and sort of fit in with Romans. Well, that's why verse 15 says, "Even as it is written." Even as it is written. How beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful. Do you get that? The thing that's always in my heart is, you are beautiful. And that's why I use that word so many times. Hi, beautiful. Well, he uses it here. He just didn't say hi. He said how. It's not particularly the body I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the message that that body carries. Radiantly glorious. How beautiful. Radiantly glorious. How beautiful are the feet, the walk, of the transfigured one, the feet of those who preach, who herald, who declare, who proclaim openly, loudly, and boldly with love, with gravity and authority, hear ye, the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings, regarding what? The Lord Jesus Christ, like the declaration, the heralding of the good news of the shepherds. Remember that in the Gospel of Luke? Behold, I bring you what? Right. Good tidings or good news of great joy. Luke 2:10. I bring you good news of great joy. Not just joy, but effervescing joy. Great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is what? Christ the Lord. That's the record. How beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel of peace, the gospel, the glad tidings. Look at Isaiah 52. This is where it's taken from here in the book of Romans. Isaiah 52, verse 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. That's the good news, the gospel of peace, regarding the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. That's the only good news being heralded today, even as it was then. And in Romans it says, and bring, carry forth glad tidings of good things, the good things that the Prince of Peace brought and brings with him into your life and for you, whosoever. Everyone, remember, for whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ shall not, absolutely not, be disappointed in his expectation. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed. Believe the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. They had the freedom of will to choose. Many of them chose not to believe. They have not all believed. Four. Esaias, that's the word Isaiah, said, and he said this when he was in great discouragement and hurt of soul. Lord, who? Yes, Lord, who? That's what Isaiah said. Has, believed our report, our message. Yes, Lord, who of all Israel has believed our message, our report, the good news of Christ's first coming as the Messiah for Israel? You know, there must first be a report, a declaration, a proclamation, a promise, a word before it can be believed. And then comes verse 17. So what? Because of the report. So faith. Faith is the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. The belief, the believing. Not a belief, but the one and only true belief. So then, believing comes, is made available to the man of body and soul by or out of hearing. namely by what he has heard. It is possible to believe if you have heard. The good news corps must be fully proclaimed, fully declared, without any private interpretation. No words deleted, added, or changed. Just the pure, undiluted good news, and it must be listened to. So, verse 17, then believing out of hearing, and, so, and, hearing by, dia, D-I-A, by, hearing the truth of God, all the way from God, by way of Jesus Christ, proceeding all the way to whosoever will. You got the picture? God, all the way through Jesus Christ unto whosoever will. Dia. If you will check the usage of that word, you'll find it's something that intersects a circle, beginning all the way back here, goes all the way through, and proceeds outside. What a tremendous usage of that word in the word. Hearing by dia, the truth of God, all the way from God by way of Jesus Christ, proceeding to whosoever will. The Word of God, or God's Word, His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Word. There are four things here. Number one, there must be a report. Number two, there must be a reporter. Number three, there must be a hearing. And number four, there must be a believing. So you have a report. You have a reporter. You have a hearing of that report by that reporter. And then there must be what, Cor? A believing. Those are the four steps here in Romans and in life. The proclamation of the good news, the gospel, the truth. God's word is a prerequisite, and core, because it is a prerequisite, it is of necessity universal. And that means word over the world. Universal. Verse 18. But I say, it is unique that this word is, these words basically are stated here in verse 18, but I say, verse 19, but I say, and in chapter 11, verse 1, I say then, but I say, in answer to two excuses that I've met up with, that have been given by the unbelievers of Israel. That's what he's saying. But I say, and this is in answer to two excuses that the children of Israel had leveled. Number one, we have not heard. Number two, therefore we did not know. Those are the two excuses. Both excuses advanced are totally irrelevant and impossible. Have they not heard? Did they not hear? They surely did hear the truth, the proclamation. Verse 18 again. Yes, verily, their sound, the word of truth, God's word regarding his son, the Messiah for Israel. This is a figure. Yes, verily, their sound. It's the word of truth. Just tremendous figures in here. The word of truth, God's word regarding his son, the Messiah for Israel, went into all the earth. Went into all the earth is another figure. Everywhere where Israel was, went into everywhere where Israel was. And their words unto the ends of the world is another figure. Into all the earth, unto the ends of the world, which literally means to all Israel and over all Israel. Double usage, indicating its absolute truth and its establishment. And this is quoted from Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 4, their line, their sound, their word is gone out throughout all the earth, through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That's the quotation used here in Romans. They have heard. But what about knowing then? They have heard it, it's been proclaimed, it's been declared, but what about knowing? And that takes you to verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? They surely did know, for the truth, the proclamation, was loudly and clearly heralded by the men of God, namely that God would save the Gentiles also. Verse 19. First Moses saith, first, let me give you Moses. For Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, meaning Gentiles, and by a foolish nation, meaning Gentiles, I will anger you. This is quoted from Deuteronomy 32:21. Moses foretold that God's grace would be extended to all Gentiles, but even more so, since God's own chosen ones, Israel, to whom the oracles were given, rejected God and His word. Israel's insubordination, rebellion, and rejection would cause God to move Israel to jealousy because of God's great grace and favor shown to the Gentiles. In verse 20, but Isaiah is very bold. Isaiah was very bold, for Isaiah was despised, he was hated, and at the risk of his life, he said, I was found of them that sought me not. Really something. I was made manifest, known unto them that asked not after me. This is a direct quotation from the Septuagint of Isaiah 65:1. Not a direct quotation from the King James, but the Septuagint. But, verse 21, to Israel, as to Israel, but with reference to Israel, aside from the promise to the Gentiles, what are you complaining about? What reason do you, Israel, have to gripe? All day long, I have stretched forth my hand. Here you have another figure. All day long, God said He stretched forth His hands. All day long. I'm going to, after a bit, go back and pick up some of these figures. It'll really bless you to see how tremendously God has documented His word with the emphasis He wants where He wants it. All day long is a figure. That's emphasized again. I've stretched forth my hand, God reaching out His hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. This is quoted, of course, from the Septuagint again, from Isaiah 65, verse 2. The word disobedient is the Greek word apatheo, A-P-E-I-T-H-E-O, meaning refuse to be persuaded in believing and complying with the proclamation they had received. Gainsaying. See, they refuse to believe the proclamation or comply with it. So in word, gainsaying, and in action, disobedient, because you, Israel, were full of pride and you were stubborn. But not so with the Gentiles. In Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, Remember what I told you about Isaiah? He gave his prophecy and spoke under very austere conditions. His life was constantly in jeopardy, and yet he spoke the greatness of the word. Listen to this in Isaiah 1, verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and that stupid ass, doesn't say stupid in the word, but at least he was an ass, and the ass his master's crib. See, the ox knoweth his owner. The ass knoweth his master's crib, but Israel does not know. They don't know their owner. They don't know the owner like the ox does, nor do they know where to eat like the ass does. Israel doth not know. My people do not consider. What a tremendous statement. When you think this and through, the ox knows the master's voice. The ass at least knows where to go to get something to eat. Call it stupid. Then Israel must have been stupider than stupid, because they did not know. Israel doth not know. Why did they not know? Because of their pride and stubbornness. They had had the proclamation, they had had the word, they had everything laid out for them, but they refused to believe it. And that's why the greatness of this in Romans appears so unique and wonderful and sets it so beautifully. I want to go back here and remind you again. First, there must be a report. Secondly, a reporter. Thirdly, there has to be a hearing of that report. And fourthly, there has to be a believing of it. That's why the report is given when holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The reporter is the one who reports exactly what the word says. He proclaims it loudly, lovingly. Remember all that? He does not change a word. He doesn't delete. He doesn't add to it. He does not change it like Eve did. Genesis, remember? Thirdly, there has to be a hearing of it. Somebody has to hear it. And the senses man is a man of body and soul. He can what? Hear. Then he has the privilege, fourthly, of doing what? Believing. It's a tremendous section here in the book of Romans. A few of the figures of speech that are in here. Verse 18, but I say, that's the figure called heterosis. It's spelled H-E-T-E-R-O-S-I-S. It's a figure where you have an exchange. Here you have the first person used for the third person. David originally said it by revelation. David said it. Now Paul says it. But I say, Paul says it. That's why it's that fantastic figure. And that puts the emphasis right there. And I said this was given, verse 18, in answer to the two excuses. And this is the figure in here called prolepsis. And it's spelled P-R-O-L-E-P-S-I-S. It also has another Greek word that they use, apantesis, A-P-A-N-T-E-S-I-S. And that figure is used whenever there is the meeting of an objection or argument before it is used. Anticipating it and dealing with it before it occurs. But I say unto you, have they not heard? He's already anticipating it. Verse 19, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy, who are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. This is the figure of meiosis. M-E-I-O-S-I-S. That figure is used when there is a belittling or lessening of one thing or one individual or one group to magnify another. The purpose is to show the importance of that which is put in contrast with it. Under verse 17, so then believing cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The two words hearing make a figure of speech. And the figure of speech is in the Greek anadiplosis. That makes the word hearing most important here. There must be a report, a reporter, and a what? Hearing. You know you can hear something and let it go clean, clear through. Like you got your head washed inside with that soap that makes you clean or something. Goes clean, clear through. That's not what this word is saying. It is saying they must hear. They really got to hear it. They really got to hear it. Now, how in the world can you hear the word if there's nobody around to give you enough of it to really hear it? The important thing is the word, the word, the word. And it's got to be the word. Not what a man says about it or thinks about it. Not what some theologian comes up with or some Bible to make a lousy bit of it. It's got to be the word. And core, when it's the word, it has to be spoken with the authority and everything else. The word herald, remember? With the authority behind it, you can't change one word of it. You don't add to it. You do not delete. You do not change. You are simply a herald. You proclaim it. You speak it forth. You are not responsible for the results. You are responsible for the proclamation. When the herald read the proclamation of the king, he was not responsible for the proclamation of the king. He was responsible for reading it and declaring it. Hear ye, hear it, the old town crier. So you need a report. That's right. You need a reporter. But you then need people who do what? Hear. And then finally, people who do what? Believe. And whatever you believe, you receive. No one ever rises beyond what they believe in life. You can do less, but you'll never go bigger than what you believe. You can't believe any more than what you're taught. The reason you believe tonight because of what you believe is because of what you've been taught. You can never rise beyond what you believe, and you can never believe more than what you're taught. Believe less, but none more. And here the word says, so then believing comes by hearing. And hearing one thing, what? The word, the word, the word. Not the latest news reporter, not all that other crap that goes around all the time. But hearing one thing, what? The word, the word. That's the big thing, Cor. You've got to get back to the word. The word. Hearing the word. And Jesus Christ is that word. God so loved that he gave. And he is that word. And he is the one who has saved you. He is the one who has filled you. For it's Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory. That's Romans.